This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Scripts for de-escalating a party who becomes verbally explosive during mediation. The exact words that bring a volatile session back under control. In short, when a party becomes verbally explosive during mediation, the session does not have to end. The mediator who holds their composure and reaches for the right words at the right moment can bring the room back. Skilled de-escalation keeps the structured process intact and gives both parties a path forward. Staying calm yourself is not passive. It is the first and most powerful move you make. A short break, used with confidence, is a legitimate mediator tool, not a sign of failure. Word-for-word preparation matters most in the moments when you feel least prepared. Definition: verbally explosive during mediation describes a party who loses emotional control within a mediation session, expressing anger through raised voices, personal attacks, or aggressive outbursts that disrupt the structured dispute resolution process and threaten the psychological safety of everyone present. I was 30 minutes into workplace mediation when one party stood up, pointed across the table, and began shouting. The other party went stone silent. The air in the room changed completely. I had been in that chair long enough to know that what happened in the next 30 seconds would determine whether the session survived. I did not match the anger. I did not apologize for the process. I reached for a phrase I had prepared and practiced, and I said it quietly and directly. The standing party sat down. We continued. They reached an agreement 2 hours later. When someone becomes verbally explosive during mediation, the process does not have to collapse. What you say in that moment, and how you say it, is the difference between a session that recovers and one that does not. In Say It Right Every Time, I call this kind of preparation the gap between knowing and doing. The script in Chapter 11 exists because being prepared with real language is how you close the gap when the room is on fire. How to get the most from these scripts? Find the script that matches your situation. Read the context note first. Then read the script out loud before you ever need it, because the first time your mouth forms those words should not be in the middle of a crisis. Adapt the bracketed elements to the specific names, issues, and language of your session. The words in brackets are yours to fill. The structure and the tone are non-negotiable. These scripts work in two registers, standard and formal. Standard language is slightly warmer and more conversational. Formal language creates more deliberate distance and is better suited to structured professional or legal mediation contexts. Choose the register that fits your environment. Scripts for de-escalating verbal explosions in a mediation session. Script 1. The initial outburst, holding the room in the first 10 seconds. The situation. A party suddenly raises their voice, speaks over the other party, or begins a personal attack. The explosion is new. The session has not yet lost structure. Why it works. Silence or hesitation in this moment signals that anything goes. A calm, firm response within the first 10 seconds tells both parties that you are still in charge of the process. As I outline in Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, anger feeds on anger. When you refuse to provide fuel, the fire burns itself out faster. Standard version. I need to pause this right there. Name, I can hear that you have a lot of feeling about this, and we will get to all of it. Right now I need you to lower your voice so we can keep going. Can you do that? Formal version. I'm going to stop the session for a moment. Name, I want to acknowledge that this is clearly a significant issue for you. However, the ground rules we agreed on at the start required that we speak at a volume and tone that allows everyone to participate. I'm asking you to lower your voice so we can continue this process productively. What to watch for after? If the party lowers their voice, acknowledge it briefly with a nod or a simple thank you. Then redirect immediately to the substance. Let's hear what you were saying about the issue. Do not dwell on the outburst. Move forward. Eamon's note. The phrase "can you do that?" at the end of the standard version is deliberate. It gives the party a small act of agency. They're choosing to comply, not being ordered to. That distinction matters more than it sounds. Script 2. Redirecting a personal attack on the other party. The situation. The explosive party has shifted from expressing frustration about the issue to making direct personal attacks on the other party. The other party is withdrawing or becoming defensive. Why it works. Personal attacks destroy psychological safety for the other party and pull the session away from the actual dispute. You need to interrupt without taking sides. The goal is to separate the person from the problem a principle I returned to repeatedly in the conflict resolution work covered in Chapter 9 of Say It Right Every Time.
Standard version. I'm going to stop you there, Name. What I'm hearing is that you're very frustrated with what happened around the issue. I want to make sure we focus on that, not on Name's character. Let's keep this on the situation itself. What specifically happened that made this so difficult for you? Formal version. Name, I need to redirect the conversation. We are here to address the issue, and the ground rules for this session require that we speak about actions and situations, not about each other's character or intentions. I'm asking you to state your concern in terms of what happened, not who Name is. This process only works when both of you feel safe enough to speak honestly. What to watch for after? The other party may feel relieved, but also wary. After redirecting the attacker, make brief eye contact with the other party and say, Name, we will come to your perspective shortly. This signals that you have not forgotten them. Eamon's note. The question at the end of the standard version, what specifically happened that made this so difficult for you, is doing quiet work. It turns the attack into a disclosure. That is the shift you need. Script 3. Calling a session break when the anger will not drop. The situation.
The outburst has continued past your initial redirection. The party is still elevated, and pushing through is making things worse. You need to stop the clock.
Why it works.
A break is not a defeat. It is a legitimate tool in a mediator's kit. In strategies for diffusing heated conversations, the pause is framed as one of the most underused and most effective moves a facilitator can make. The key is calling it with confidence, not apology.
Standard version.
I think we need to take a short break. This is a lot to hold, and we have all been in this room working hard.
I'm going to suggest 10 minutes.
Step away, get some water, and we will come back to this with fresh ground under us.
Formal version. I'm going to call a 10-minute recess. It is clear that emotions are running high, and that is completely understandable given the significance of what we are discussing.
Continuing right now would not serve either party well.
When we resume, I will restate the ground rules, and we will proceed from specific point in the agenda. Please take this time to step away from the room.
What to watch for after. Do not allow the two parties to interact during the break unsupervised. If possible, put them in separate spaces. When you bring them back, do not reference what just happened unless one of them raises it.
We've opened with a calm restatement of where you are in the process.
Eamon's note. When you call the break, stand up as you say it. The physical act reinforces the authority of the words. Sitting while you say I'm calling a break is less clear.
Standing makes it a decision, not a suggestion.
Script 4. Resetting boundaries after the break.
The situation.
The session has resumed after a break. You need to re-establish the ground rules before anything else is said, especially if the explosion was severe. This is prevention before the next wave arrives.
Why it works.
A boundary without enforcement is just a suggestion. Coming back into the room and picking up where you left off as if nothing happened sends a signal that the behaviour had no consequence. This script makes the reset explicit and forward-facing without shaming the party who opted.
Standard version.
Before we continue, I want to take 30 seconds to restate where we are. We are here because both of you want to resolve the issue. That takes courage from both of you, and I respect that. What we agreed at the start still applies. We speak about the situation. We do not attack each other personally, and we give each other space to be heard.
I need that from both of you for the rest of our time together.
Formal version. Now that we had a chance to step away, I want to restate the operating principles of this session.
We are here to work toward a resolution to a specific issue.
To do that, both parties must be able to speak and listen without personal attacks, interruptions, or raised voices. These are not suggestions. They are the conditions under which this process can function. If we are not able to maintain these conditions, I will need to suspend the session.
I am confident we can proceed.
Let's continue.
What to watch for after?
Watch for compliance in the first 5 minutes after this script. If the party immediately tests the boundary again, move directly to script 6 rather than repeating this one.
Eamon's note.
Notice that the standard version begins with what both parties are doing right, coming despite difficulty, before it states the boundary. That ordering matters. People who feel respected first are far more likely to accept a limit.
Script 5.
Responding to a party who denies they were out of line.
The situation.
After you have addressed the outburst, the party pushes back. They claim they were not out of line, or they redirect blame to the other party for provoking them. This is a form of manipulation, and how to de-escalate arguments during meetings reinforces what I have long believed manipulation thrives in confusion
and dies in clarity why it works. Arguing about whether the behavior occurred is a dead end. This script acknowledges the party's feeling without conceding the point, and it steers back to the process without a confrontation about what happened. Standard version. I hear that you see it differently, and that is okay. What I know is what I observed, and what I observed was affecting our ability to work. I am not here to assign blame for what just happened. I am here to help you both reach something that works. Let's stay focused on that. Formal version. Name, I understand that your perspective on what occurred may be different from mine. I am not asking you to agree with my characterization of events. What I'm asking is that we both commit to the process going forward. My role is not to judge what happened before you came into this room. My role is to ensure that this session functions in a way that gives both parties a genuine opportunity to be heard and to reach an agreement. That is what I need from you now. What to watch for after. If the party accepts this and moves on, do not revisit it. If they continue to argue about the characterization of events, name the pattern directly. We are spending our session time on what happened earlier rather than on the issue. I need to ask you to choose, do you want to continue with the mediation? Eamon's note. The question, do you want to continue, is a genuine question, not a threat. It reminds the party that they have agency. People who feel cornered escalate. People who feel they have a choice often settle. Script 6. Suspending the session as a last resort. The situation. The party has continued to be verbally abusive or aggressive after clear boundary setting and a break. The other party is visibly distressed. Continuing the session would cause harm. You need to end it cleanly, with a path to resume. Why it works. If you allow a session to continue past the point of function, you undermine your own credibility and signal that your ground rules carry no weight. The deal method teaches that a solution imposed on one person is not a solution. A session that continues while one party is unsafe is not mediation. It is pressure. Standard version. I'm going to suspend this session for today. I want to be clear, this is not the end of the process, and it is not a judgment about either of you. It means that right now, this is not the right conditions for productive work. I will be in touch with both of you separately to talk about how and where we continue. Formal version. Names, I'm formally suspending this mediation session. I want both of you to understand that this decision is based on my professional assessment that continuing would not serve the goals of this process. It is not a reflection of either party's willingness to resolve the matter. I will contact each of you individually within specific time frame to discuss the conditions under which we can reconvene. I want you both to leave here knowing that a resolution is still possible and that I remain committed to helping you reach one. What to watch for after. Send written follow-up to both parties within 24 hours. Keep it factual and forward-looking. Reference word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague before it becomes a conflict as a resource the parties themselves can use between sessions if appropriate to your context. Eamon's note. Say the suspension statement once. Do not explain it again after you have said it. Repeating or justifying it invites argument. State it, stand, and manage the exit. Your composure in that final moment sets a tone for whether they come back. Making these scripts sound like you, not a manual. The risk with word-for-word scripts is that you deliver them like a reading from a policy document. The scripts here are structures, not performances. You adapt them. The bracketed sections, name, the issue, specific time frame, are the minimum. Beyond those, change the rhythm if a phrase feels wrong in your mouth. If I'm going to stop the session sounds too formal for your style. I need to stop us here works just as well. The logic of the script, acknowledge what is happening, set the direction, invite forward movement, must stay intact. The specific words are yours to shape. One rule I apply without exception, never raise your volume to match an explosive party. The contrast between their noise and your deadness is not a weakness. It is, in my experience, the most powerful thing in the room. People who feel heard rarely explode. When someone does explode, it is almost always because they believe they are not being heard. Your calm, unhurried response demonstrates more clearly than any words that you are, in fact, listening. For deeper work on how dominant voices and emotional escalation interact in group settings, the approach is covered in How to Deal with Dominant Voices in a discussion applied directly to the mediation context. Four errors that make verbal explosions worse in mediation. The mistake, telling the party to calm down. Why it happens. It feels like the obvious instruction. What to do instead? Tell them what you need them to do, not what you need them to feel. Lower your voice is an action. Calm down is a judgment. The mistake, apologizing for the process when someone erupts. Why it happens, the mediator wants to reduce hostility and reaches for softening language. What to do instead? Hold the process with confidence. Apologizing signals that the explosion had an effect on the process's validity.
It did not.
The mistake. Turning to the other party for support or eye contact during the explosion. Why it happens. Natural instinct to check on the person being targeted. What to do instead? Keep your focus on the explosive party until the moment is contained. Looking to the other party during the outburst signals alliance, and alliance ends your neutrality. The mistake. Using these scripts robotically, word for word, without reading the room.
Why it happens. Preparation without practice creates rigidity. What to do instead?
Understand the purpose of each script well enough that you can paraphrase it naturally. The scripts in How to Handle Conflict During Meetings make the same point: prepared language works when it is absorbed, not recited. The core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations can help you build the internal stability that makes these scripts land the way they are intended to.
A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last
and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emumblickforum.com.
Now, back to the article.
Frequently asked questions.
What does verbally explosive during mediation mean?
A party becomes verbally explosive during mediation when they lose emotional control and express anger through raised voices, interruptions, personal attacks, or aggressive language. This differs from normal frustration. It disrupts the structured process and can cause the other party to shut down or escalate in return.
How do you de-escalate a verbally explosive party in mediation?
You stay calm, name what is happening without shaming the person, and give them a clear, simple directive. The goal is to slow the moment down.
A short break, a neutral restatement of the ground rules, and a direct but compassionate invitation to continue are the core tools.
Should you pause mediation when someone becomes verbally aggressive?
Often yes.
A short break of 5 to 10 minutes lets the emotional charge drop. Continuing while someone is at peak anger rarely produces progress.
The pause is not a failure of the session.
It is a tool, and using it confidently is a sign of a skilled mediator. What should a mediator never say to a volatile party? Never tell a volatile party to calm down directly.
Those words almost always intensify the anger.
Never take sides, assign blame, or suggest their feelings are wrong.
Avoid matching their volume or urgency.
Stay slow, steady, and neutral. The mediator's composure is the most powerful de-escalation tool in the room. How do you re-engage a party after a verbal explosion in mediation? After a break, we enter with a brief acknowledgement that the conversation is difficult, a restatement of the shared goal, and an invitation to continue on specific, factual ground. Avoid referencing the explosion directly unless the party raises it.
Move forward, not backward.
Can a mediator remove a party who becomes verbally explosive?
Yes, though it is a last resort.
If a party continues to be verbally abusive after clear boundary setting and a session break, you have the authority to suspend the session. State this calmly, without threat or punishment language, and offer a path to resume when both parties are ready. The scripts in this article will not make mediation easy.
Nothing does that. What they will do is give you something real to reach for in the moment you most need it.
When someone becomes verbally explosive during mediation, the session is not lost. Your composure, your timing, and the right words, prepared and practiced before you ever needed them, are what bring it back. This much I know for certain: the mediator who prepares for the worst moments is the one who creates the best outcomes.
Thank you for listening.
If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way.
115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them.
Visit emonblickforum.com to get your copy.